Thanks for listening in to this episode of Power Lunch. The FM Power Lunch is an opportunity for us to talk about how our faith can go to work. We explore ideas by interviewing different people and learning from others about how our faith and work intersect. We're glad that you can listen in and hope that you'll join us in person sometime. Learn more at bethelfc.com/powerlunch. Dawn, what a blessing it is to have you. I know I've just been getting to know you in the last year. I've known of you through my friend Scott. And when I invited Scott to be the Power Lunch speaker, he very quickly pivoted and said, Dawn first. And so thank you so much, Scott, for that and the encouragement. I didn't have enough courage to just ask you. I should have just asked you because you're such a generous lady and such a wonderful person. So for those of us who are just getting to know you, what would you like us to know about Miss Dawn Robinson?
Oh, wow.
Robson.
Okay. I have been blessed to have Christ and Scripture in my life throughout my life. There's been some really hard things, and there's been some really blessed things. And I realize, as I talk to other people, how much that has protected me as a child. I like to spend time in my Bible trying to read through the Bible, get in Leviticus and get stuck and you're done. But
we won't ask people to raise hands who've also done that. But there's a lot of us.
but yeah, that was very formative for me. And has helped to weather a lot of things.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Well, that explains a lot. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? How when you meet Jesus and you spend time in his word, it changes you. And, wow.
Yeah, I'll say even today, I'm at Relevant Church and our reading for today fit the news of today, from disaster to hope.
Tell me about that. Just,
well, that might get, no, it was just, Old Testament prophet, like what's that? You know, they're a little hard. Sometimes, but the application of not listening to the prophets and not listening to what God was saying and the judgment that comes, and however that applies in the world. But then God brings his people out, and so we do have hope. I always, as I was... We were raising our children, I always felt we were raising them to live through hard times. And those may come, but we have Christ.
Isn't that a beautiful truth?
Yeah.
Yeah, so many of the generation in front of me have said similar things. Mm-hmm. Like we see in the future that following Jesus may come at greater expense than some of them felt. And there's been a strong encouragement that way.
Yeah, too. And what we're seeing in our world in our nation right now is really nothing compared to what the church has gone through and what the church is going through around the world. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that, and how much the church grows in those trying times is incredible. Yeah. And how Christ comes to people in those times and in those moments. And the situation we're in disappears in the light of his glory.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. I was just reading in Revelation about that great heavenly throne room vision that John had, you know, and the justice that was promised but not yet realized, and the praise of God. Tell me about your faith formation. You know, you speak of having Christ in your life and Scripture. Mm-hmm. Where did that come from, and how did the Lord use that in your life?
I grew up in a Lutheran church. I grew up in a family that attended church, and that was kind of where church belonged.
Okay.
You know, just sure. Keep it at church.
Yep.
You know, there's those people that are kind of radical out there, those radical Christians. Don't be one of those. I think I am one of those.
You're starting to own that now? Okay. That's good.
So, yeah, a lot of time on my own. A lot of time, like I said, you know, reading in Scripture. Growing up, like remembering the church choir and the power of those hymns speaking to my heart as a young girl, and seeing the hope and the life in the word and the hymns. Then young adulthood, starting to, I remember I was in like a circle. The older churches, I don't know if the churches still have circle, but the women's group. And I went to a national women's conference, and I realized there, and this memory is just coming to me this morning, that that there were a lot of people that were taking their plan and then slapping some scripture on it and saying, yeah, God. And it's like, well, no, that's actually us, and we're slapping scripture on it. That doesn't feel right. And then in that same era, doing the Experiencing God Bible Study by Henry Cloud and
Henry Blackaby.
And Dr. Henry Cloud still is having a huge influence on me this year.
Awesome.
So, his blend of relationship and theology, and he coming to deep faith out of realizing how much scripture and psychology and proper psychology are, it's the same.
Yeah. I love it.
But sometimes that gets twisted and it's not.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think we're getting a little bit of a taste of just the depth of your heart and your care for the world. Tell us about your professional career. When I was just browsing through LinkedIn, you had quite the variety of experiences that are unique. Tell us a little more about that.
I started out as a nurse, did a variety of nursing, was in public health nursing. Actually, to jump ahead to our, a little bit, I'll foreshadow.
Go for it.
When I was a public health nurse in Jamestown, we would have monthly meetings between public health and home health, because we had clients going back and forth, and so we could kind of coordinate care a little bit on that. And every one of those meetings was like, oh, we need hospice. We need hospice. Hmm. And, but it was just too big of a, you know, everyone's like, but that's something we can't do. And I guess I've had on my resume ever since the first resume, creative problem solver, and just kind of a willingness to say, oh, there's hospices out there. Mm-hmm. So it's possible. So we formed a community group. There was a lady in my circle who had Lou Gehrig's. So our church put a team together in honor of Linda, and we finished in memory of Linda. And the hospice came to Jamestown.
Wow.
And the eventually, you know, you get the thing started, you get the movement started, and then eventually the hospital steps in and says, oh, wait, yeah, we'll do this if you got this going. So that was quite a while ago.
Is that when you became more interested in leadership? Because I noticed you have some certifications with like John Maxwell and those kinds of things.
Yeah, I would say actually not. That was okay. Something I did when the babies were little. And I wanted to be at home. And it was something I could do as a volunteer at home and also in the community somewhat. But in free time, I could work on that along with other community members. It was just seeing a need and being foolish enough to step into it.
Okay, let me see if I caught that right. You saw a need and you were foolish enough to step into it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
See, my what I consider my life verse is God uses the foolish to confound the wise. So there we go.
That's amazing. Well, you are in very good company then. Wow, that is awesome. I want to chase that, but I'm gonna just pause for a moment. I love that about you. Well, that helps me understand why you chose to bring together who you did and how I got to meet you, because I'm in my service, my volunteerism, I got invited to a meeting of local faith-based nonprofits trying to address recovery issues and homeless issues. Mm-hmm. Tell us about what your dream is there and how that theme might fit.
I challenged our mayor a few years back that Fargo can solve, not Christ says we will always have the poor and the homeless with us, but Fargo can do a lot more to solve our homeless crisis. It's not coming from the city. It's coming from us. It's coming from it's got to come from the church. Our ways are different in government and in church. Hopefully we can work together. That would be beautiful. And there's communities that have done that. But yeah, I saw kind of similar to that meeting together. I saw agencies that were providing services to the homeless and to those in recovery that were having some overlap and working together, but not getting together. And so we started that meeting. Scott does the organization of that and brings us an agenda that we never follow, but we try.
I notice. Yeah. It's so much more joyful than what's on the paper. It's just, it's a lot of fun.
But it's ended up being such a beautiful gathering of wonderful people. And I'd invite anybody, if you are serving homeless or addicted and you haven't come to that meeting, please be in touch with Jonas, myself, Scott, and get involved. But yeah, the vision there is that somehow we're gonna advance what we do in the city for our homeless population, because everyone is created in the image of God. And not everyone knows that, and not everyone gets treated that way.
I think that's what struck me so much when I was there with you and Scott and the others on that Friday morning, was just that pulsating heartbeat, or like that quiet drum beat that's happening in the back that's so predictable, that said, there's got to be more. Mm-hmm. These people are created in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they have value.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm so blessed to know people that work with people in those areas. And you can see that in their hearts, in their ministries. Some are here today. And others are, I've been so blessed to go out on a Saturday afternoon on a street mission ministry with somebody who, every time he talks about the service he does, he breaks down crying. And it's so beautiful. And this is a guy that didn't used to cry.
That is what?
Didn't used to cry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The more than man of Brian.
Brian?
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. It's such a beautiful thing. So the Lord is using you in this, and Don, it's been so fun to watch. Now, typically when you're introduced, as I understand, as the founder of That's the Dream Farm.
Yes.
And that's really a pride and joy element of you. I learned earlier that it's called equine therapy. If you call it equine therapy, that's incorrect. It's equine therapy. Tell me about that, because that's where a lot of the public is going to interact with you, or maybe some of the folks even here might want to take advantage of the resource that you've created there. It's incredible getting to meet Christian and Caleb and the team. Like, what a beautiful team you're building.
Yeah.
What is it? Because you're still not as well known as you could be, and
no,
I hope
yeah,
to become.
And it, and it tell and it's us about a little hard to define. So it's relational learning through relationship with the horses and the animals and our staff. We do trauma-informed care. We study attachment theory, which is a great connection to homelessness and to recovery. And people can come out to the farm as individuals or groups, and we basically develop whatever program that is needed in the situation. We have our principles that we study and that we operate under and that we teach. And we came up kind of during COVID, and I saw just how stressed our caregivers were. There was people that were, their hearts are to care for people, and they were so restricted and couldn't do the things they knew they needed to do and all of that during COVID. It was so stressful. And so because of that, we decided, if you serve, we serve you. And so we do have like ministry teams or service teams. We'll do a staff retreat for them. If people are able to pay, great. If they aren't and they're serving others, then we're there to serve. It's our kind of a way of giving back to the community. For my husband and I, he doesn't work out there, but he's in the back office keeping it running. Delegates talking with someone today about like a find people to do the things that you aren't good at, and we coordinate pretty well on those kind of things. But that was you. Way back, we talked about certifications and that kind of thing.
Right,
the John Maxwell leadership training certification in that, and also American Association of Christian Counselors coaching training. And so I have life coach certifications, which is a lovely spot to be. Life coaching isn't about telling you what to do; it's about helping you find what's in you to do and what your creation and purpose is. I see some nodding going on.
I want to make sure I capture this correctly, because I think what you're really offering is something that's quite generous. If you serve, we serve you. Mm-hmm. And if you can contribute, we appreciate that. It helps keep the farm going. Mm-hmm. And if you can't, our heart is for you so much that we would be honored to serve you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, guys, that's a tremendous gift, and something many of you, because a lot of you are part of organizations that raise your hands and say, I'll serve. And we know in that community, sometimes you need to be served too. So I want to encourage you. I'm endorsing this. I want you to take advantage of this. And then what about those who say, I'm running a for-profit company. I think it'd be good for my team. Can we hire you? You know, will you host us?
We can do that too.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a huge variety of, I mean, they're relational principles, right? Everybody needs relationship, and everybody needs healthy relationship. And so we've grown into areas that we never expected. We do hospice youth grief retreat for kids who have lost loved ones. They don't have to necessarily be in hospice. We coordinate kind of half and half with hospice on that, where they do part of the programming, we do part of the programming. Just an honor to be able to serve in those ways. We serve veterans. We have Veterans Fridays through the summer. And we work with people in recovery. We work with the Genesis Men, such an honor. People in recovery that have discovered Christ and Christ has set them free are just amazing people to be around. I had, decades ago, been exposed to Muslims that had met Christ. Mm-hmm. Christ had come to them, and they were just so on fire for Christ. Well, people in recovery that have had Christ set them free are very much like that also. And like the Genesis Men, they're so willing to work on their stuff. People that haven't gone through that, I don't have stuff. What do you mean I have stuff? I don't have stuff. You know. but when you've been through some things, you realize, you know what? My life is going to be a lot better if I start to deal with some of this stuff. And we all have it.
We do. I'll never forget the time I saw Chip Ingram was one of my heroes. And a very famous preacher in my circles. And I watched him stand in front of a crowd of over 1,000 Fellowship of Christian Athletes leadership team. Mm-hmm. And he said, here's the secret. Every one of us is insecure. And until you get honest about that, mm-hmm. you're going to be stuck at some point.
And really through the work that we, so our training in natural lifemanship is kind of 50-50. It's us. You can't take somebody where you haven't gone. If you haven't worked through some things, you can't come alongside somebody and help them also. So our trainings are very intense. But through that, I have been able to step so much more into who I am created to be.
Well, that's beautiful. Tell me about the equine part of this. Okay. I didn't grow up with horses. Mm-hmm. I don't know horses. I work with somebody who's passionate about horses. I hear about horses a lot. What's the secret?
So physiologically, horses are animals of prey. And so they have to look at you and know what's inside you. Are you here to eat them? Or are you just here to eat grass beside them?
Okay.
So they're very good at reading our internal states. And even when we don't want to show our internal states, they can read them. And that really is beautiful work that we can have the horses to do that. Caleb, can I tell on us? He was having a hard day. We're so blessed. Caleb Alness is a youth pastor at Relevant, and also we didn't know our team was going to have a really horrible year this year. God did, so he had us hire a pastor. He works half-time for us and half-time for the church. And then beside him is Christian, and he's our farm manager. We go through a lot together, and my daughter Amanda, and we work with Scott too. And anyway, Caleb had a hard, his wife, maybe family with a daughter, teenage daughter, being a teenage daughter, you know, they can give you some days. And so I walked with him, because that's something that is connecting. It's rhythm, it's relationship. And we connect a lot when we take that time to walk together. And we walked over to let the horses, they were closed in, we had to open a gate, let them into another pasture. And I just figured, one of the horses is going to notice. And we have a horse that's a Nakota, which is the horses out of the Badlands. A very caring horse. And she came, we have four horses and a pony. Some of them just, boom, there's the bale. We're headed to the bale. She stopped, laid her head against his thigh, and stood there. And there's many times where I'm like, yeah, Rosie's still not letting me go. I'm not okay yet. Mm. I still need to take care of some stuff. And I'll stay here because Rosie's telling me I still need to take care of some stuff. And so that's kind of why horses. They also have, there's a science of heart math where sitting here, mm-hmm. Our hearts have an electrical charge where we're influencing each other's heart. And with horses, that's even a bigger area. And they can literally help us to calm our system electrically. Wow. Through heart math.
Wow.
And there's so much more. But I grew up with horses as a little girl, and those teenage girls, the painful times of teenage girlhood, and I could go out and hug my horse, and I knew what that did for me. And my daughter's roommate has a lot of physical disabilities and a lot of trauma in her childhood. And when I'd first gotten back into horses, I had left her holding my horse and I walked away and he got anxious and he's real dancy. And you know, I look back and I'm like, why did I leave somebody who has some physical stability issues holding him? But sure. She said, it's okay, Teddy, you'll be okay. And the light bulb went on for me. I knew what horses did for me. I wanted to offer that to other people. And so I searched for a program to train in to be able to do that emotional care with horses versus like Bison Strides does like OTPT kind of stuff, which is awesome. But we do relational emotional care. And the horses are a huge part of that because of who they are.
I love that. And I love how the Lord started that in your life early and how it's coming full circle.
Yeah.
And that you're able to offer that.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that just like our God, to bring those resources to bear mm-hmm. in our time of need?
Yeah. If I can add one more real powerful to me, well, it's a real powerful. When I was 9, we had somebody that lived with us that was, he worked for my dad as a farmhand, came out of an abusive home. His dad was an alcoholic. he had drank a lot, but he wasn't allowed to drink on our farm. And he worked on the farm, lived on the farm, was like a brother to me. And he was brutally murdered in New Rockford, North Dakota, brutally. And that was really hard, really hard. I didn't know how to grieve. My family didn't teach me how to grieve. I locked down I didn't cry for decades because I just shut it off. But I also learned at his funeral that our hope is in Christ and that he had a better place that he was going to and was at. And I could feel, like, you know, he had a horrible end, but he now had a beautiful life. So that was formative in all of what I do too. But I think Bob is a big part of the heart for those who are in recovery and all that. He was very precious in my life. And that's part of the heart of the farm also. And it took, telling myself, about 50 years, almost 50 years, for me to have, pretty much I think I'm at a point of healing. Wow. One of our veterans knew Bob, was in his family, and he happened to be in Carrington where I grew up. And I remember, you know how you talk things in small town North Dakota, and and I was like, okay, like, long stretch here, but you wouldn't happen to know. And he's, and I call him Bob, and he's like, Bobby?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. And I told him my experience at Bob's funeral. I shut down because my family was like, what's wrong with you? You're like sobbing all over the place. And his family was all stoic, and I shut down. And because that's how you deal with grief, right? That's what everyone's modeling for me. And he said, oh, I know why you would have had that experience. That family had a lot of anger that wasn't, I think, you know, it was a horrible situation. He goes, yeah, that wouldn't have felt safe for you as a 9-year-old, and so I understand. And it's like, what? I was understood. And that's how trauma gets healed, is when you can talk to somebody and they can recognize that what was done was not right, what you experienced was not right, and share that recognition, and our brain literally can rewrite what we've stored, and we can be set free from traumas that we didn't, sometimes don't even know about, but a lot of times didn't think we could be. So through giving back, I had that healing, I guess.
Well, Dawn, our time has run out. I could talk to you for a long time, and I think it would be so good for all of us to hear more. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing from such an intimate place, from like a 9-year-old, and then 50 years later, finding that full resolution that you found. Friends, I think maybe the Lord brought us into this place today, not by accident, but so that maybe some of us could be reminded of the hope that is out there for us. But also, like, if you find yourself in one of those places of realizing those traumas are popping back up and feeling like they're unhealed, I want to encourage you to take advantage of the resource that is Dawn and her group and our friends that are out there. I am going to go back and listen again and make sure I get that line down really well. I saw a need and I was foolish enough to step into it. May that be a theme for us this year. Literally, like, why not? Mm-hmm. Maybe that needs to be the better question this year. Why not? Friends, we have tremendous opportunities in front of us. I want to pray for us to close our time, but you have one more thing.
Step into that with God's leading. Not,
amen.
Not on our own power, amen. Or it will be a mess.
Let us not be the people that slap a Bible verse on it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But as we're led by the Spirit of God, mm-hmm. the people who point us to hope. Thank you, sister.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for this time we've shared. Thank you that you're a God of presence. Lord, I thank you that we can celebrate the incarnation, a baby born to a virgin who had come to live a sinless life, to die on a cross, to be raised from the dead, and to offer us a restored relationship with you, our Heavenly Father. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move in our midst, that you would lead us. God, that you would give us courage, not to slap Bible verses on stuff, but to genuinely seek you. And in seeking you, to have the foolishness, it would seem, but rather the true wisdom of trusting you, to believe that you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening to this episode of Power Lunch. While hosted by Bethel Church, the Power Lunch is sponsored by Area Professionals. We'd love to have you join us. Learn more about our next upcoming Power Lunch at bethelfc.com/powerlunch.
FM Power Lunch. Learn about your faith in the workplace at FM Power Lunch.